Well, good morning, as we dismiss the children. So I know many of you are probably wondering, what am I doing with this piece of iron in my hand today? I said to Matthew Gazzo when I walked in today, I said, somebody's getting a hook and it just might be you. But as we continue in the God Form series, I want to talk to you about the pain of taking shape. And I want you to kind of hold in you the image or the imagery of a blacksmith. How many have you ever seen a blacksmith work? You go down to the Bethpage Heritage Village in Nassau County, and I saw something there. And, this actually was a gift from my son. He had gone on a class trip to, I believe it was Ashokan. My wife is confirming that for me. They formed it with the blacksmith, and it's a poker, which I would love to use if I ever should own a fireplace. But anyway, they formed it, and we'll talk a little bit more about this or the subject as we go on. If you look at it, I like the way it's shaped and the hook to hang it on, but I like the unique twist. And I can imagine how they arrived at heating this and just getting it to twist out to kind of give it a little design and a little uniqueness. A blacksmith works with high heat to get to what he wants to form or what he sees in his mind. I think there's a skill to it and a creativeness to it. And if you ever get a chance, which I did this week, go online and look at some of the videos they have about blacksmithing. Many of them were far too long to put up on the screen today and share with you because it's a process, you know. But it's incredible how red hot the iron gets. And yet they can take it and they can pound it out and they can shape it, mold it into something unique. I just think it's amazing. And we're gonna kind of touch on that a little this morning. We're kind of shifting this week from Jeremiah over to Isaiah. So we want to look at Isaiah 43 with you today. The first 3.5 verses. It says this. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Quite often, God's working with his people can much be like the work of the blacksmith. This morning I want to kind of talk to you about thinking of the fire and the water much differently here in these particular verses. Seeing them not as something that can destroy and ruin your life, that threatens your life. And I know if you're like me, quite often when I have read that verse in the past, I thought, man, you know, how often do we go through fires and we kind of get those hits, and then we at times we're just in over our head. The floodwaters rise and we're just having a hard time catching our breath and dealing with life. And, those moments come and go. What I want to kind of pose the fire and the water a little differently to you today. As a means for God to use those elements to work in your life and to work in my life. You see, think of the fire as not something that is made to harm you, but rather to warm your life, to get you to a place to be worked with. Not a hot heat that will literally dissolve and destroy you, you know, but that will soften you, soften your life, and help God to bring shape to it so that he can work. Think about the water today differently. That the turbulence of the water is not there to drown you, to put you under and keep you there until the oxygen runs out of your lungs and you can't breathe anymore. But think of it as something that is cool and is able to refresh you from times when you have been baked by life, to be able to refresh you and bring life back into you. See, seeing the good in the fire, in the water, and the process. I don't know about you, but I have had times where, in a moment, God had changed it around for me. I remember being out on the job, was parked in a parking lot in Woodbury off of Jericho Turnpike, and I was waiting for my next plumbing job to come over the radio. And I was going through it. Don't ask me what I was going through, but I was going through it. And I was about to pray, "Oh God, you got to take this thing from me." In other words, you got to shut the flames down. Stop the flooding. I need you to do this. But as I began to open my mouth and to pray in my truck, it's like God took those words and he changed them. He took them out and he put some others in. And basically, this is what came out of my mouth. "Father, help me to embrace what I'm going through. Help me not to run from it, but to wrap my arms around it and take it to myself that you might change me." And I want to tell you, at that moment, what happened was the ability to wreck me and hurt me and pull me down and make my day literally a waste and make me the same was gone. Because I didn't run from it. I ran to it and I took it. I didn't cower as I would normally do. I wouldn't crawl in the corner and say, "Oh God, I'm your son. You got to help me here. You know, I can't deal with this. This is just too much." But he started changing my perspective of what was happening in my life. And as I embraced it, he was there, embracing it with me. It was him that changed the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart. And he did something wonderful. He began a process that started me to thinking of the suffering, the trials, and the things that I would go through much differently. Maybe to start thinking them as tools where God could be working in my life to bring about his image in me, his life in me, and in you, and in us. Now, last week I shared a quote from C.S. Lewis, but I kind of want to go back to that and kind of catch more of the quote. How many of you have ever seen the movie Shadowlands? Two? Only two? Great. This is a plug then. This is a pitch for that movie. If you can get your hands on it, wherever, Netflix, Prime, whatever, watch Shadowlands. Anybody like Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
Right. He plays C.S. Lewis, okay? And it's about the life of C.S. Lewis. And they use this quote where he goes into a church and he's giving a lecture and he talks about this quote. And I'll get in a little bit more about the substance of what he was sharing with the people. But looking at C.S. Lewis's quote again this week, as he's in this lecture, he says, "I suggest to you that it is because God loves us that he gives us the gift of suffering. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You see, we are like blocks of stone of which the sculptor carves and forms of men. The blows of his chisel, which hurt us so much, are what makes us perfect." Pretty intense thoughts from this man who could write and share God's thoughts so well. as he lectured the people there, he brought something that was very relevant to them in that day. And he asked them, "Do you, many of you remember what happened?" And he gave a date on such and such a day when some Marine cadets were on at a bus stop and a vehicle careened off the road and hit many of them, and quite a few of them died. And you could see the people shaking their head. He connected a relevant pain, something that they could hold on to and say, "Yeah, we remember that." And then he went into saying that God was not absent from that, that it is these blows of the chisel that God uses in our lives to make us a people who know him better. Because I would venture this to you, and you can disagree with me somewhere down the line later, tomorrow, next week, but if everything went smooth, we have a tendency to just kind of lose sight of God and forget him. It's when, you know what, hits the fan and we get it all over ourselves that we go, "Man, I need a good shower. I need some help here. I need to get clean. This is insane. And man, I smell. This is not what life is supposed to be about." And so I want to say to you, it's when those hardships come, whether it is losing your son, who's a Marine cadet in the English Army, in the British Army, to a freak accident, or when life hits us with all kinds of loss of loved ones, sudden illness, a horrifying diagnosis, illness, disappointments, relational conflicts, heartache, when you seem to have things in grasp, you have a plan, and you are pursuing that plan, and you really even believe that God's involved in this plan, this relationship, or what's about to happen, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops out. A blow of a chisel. The car accident. A blow of the chisel. Arguments among the people you love the most, with the people you love the most. A blow of the chisel. Broken dreams. Another blow of the chisel. Or life just not turning out how you thought it would, and or how you desired or planned. All a blow of the chisel. And I want to say to you today that the tools, the things that God that hit us, God can take and use them. That nothing goes to waste with God. Nothing. No hardship, no disappointment, no relational breakup, no sudden bill in the mail, no horrible diagnosis goes to waste. God uses everything because it's a part of life, and he is the big part of our life. He uses these things. They are like tools in his hands to break away and chip away, because there's something in you and I that he sees that he wants to form. He is creating a new man. He's creating a new woman. He's creating a new person that he has always seen when he picked up and got that block of stone. Got a response from my brother-in-law down in Virginia. He said, "Good message this week." He said, because he basically was saying, I'm a blockhead, basically, And I wrote back and I says, I kind of was thinking that too as I was getting out the email, God takes us raw, all right? Nobody comes to God because they're already clean, I'm right with God, and so I'm coming. Or I'm coming to church because I'm right with God. Or I'm coming to him, or I'm seeking him in prayer because I'm right. God takes us in our raw stages, in our when we are just utter blocks, when people look at us and go, what is happening with her life or his life? But when he looks at the block of stone, he sees something more. He looks through the surface and the jagged edges, and he says, I see possibilities. I see the possibilities in her life. I see the possibilities in his life, and I know I can do something with this life. He takes that block of stone and he begins to work. And every blow of his chisel is because he loves us. Because he refuses to just leave us fall to the wayside or become like any other stone on a mountain. He says, I see you, and I can do something. I want to do so. I love you so much, I want to do something in your life. And I'll not leave you be because I love you that much. Whereas others can walk by that block and see nothing and wonder what good could come from that block of stone. Maybe we'll just take it. I've driven by homes in the community where all of a sudden you get to one house and they have these big, huge pillars and blocks of stone. They're kind of like basically divided so that no one comes up on their lawn. You know, or maybe they're at an intersection where you know, if they don't stop and hit the brakes, they're going to end up on your property. I've seen that. Well, God wants to do more than that in our lives. When he looks at us, he sees something beautiful. He sees something that he can work with and that he wants to use and give purpose to when he looks at you and I. And we are surrounded with such blocks of stone that God wants to touch, just as he touches us. So what does God want to do with your block of stone, with who you are? Now, I'm not saying he hasn't done anything. Obviously, he has done something. But there's always more that he wants to do. He's never done. He's never done. The work is never done. And so, what do you think he wants to do in your life? In this next year that's coming up. And how do you think that might be achieved? You see, because there is pain in the shaping and the forming. There's that chipping away. And let us be honest. I don't like when the chisel strikes my life. I don't like to feel the weight of the hammer behind the sharpness of that tool. It's painful. It's not pleasurable. But I think I might have said this last week. There hasn't been a time where I haven't gone through something that I wasn't glad that I went through it. Because he was right there. Right in it with me. Because ultimately it was his hands working whatever was going on. See? And God is doing a work in each of us. I want to go to a photo I found this week. I've seen a few of them online, but this one really grabbed my attention. It says, He who created us, he created us, right? He looks at the block of stone, and at one point, there was no shape. It was just a block, rough and unfinished. But he looked and he saw possibilities. I wonder if there were some looking on when the artist started to form the sculpture, if they were even able to imagine that something as beautiful as this could come out of that. Now, you might not think it's beautiful and you might not like it, but that's art, you know? You ever go to people standing in an art gallery and they are there in amazement at this photo and I'm like, what the heck are they seeing, you know? So art is very, you know, not everybody sees the same thing, but when I looked at this, I said, I think this is just a beautiful piece. I wonder if anyone was looking on as he was forming it was thinking the same thing. Probably not. And I wonder if the woman who posed for this, if she realized her own beauty, if she could realize her own beauty. See, because when the world looks at us, they might not necessarily see what God sees in us, what the great artist sees when he looks at our lives. But he sees it. And I wonder sometimes when we look in the mirror or we reflect on our own lives, do we see the beauty that God is forming in us? Can we think back? Because I can easily think back to when I was a teenager. And what a mess that block of stone was. God had not yet begun to get his hands on it. But even now, as you've journeyed, have you lost sight of what God is doing in your life? and the possibilities and the beauty that he's forming in each of us? I wonder if that woman realized how lovely the lines in her face were. You know, we don't think that way. Look, I got crow's feet. I got lines here. I got my neck is growing. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, Tommy the Turtle, what the heck is going on here? You know? I wonder if she was able to see how beautiful she was. Because I really believe that this guy caught it. The lines around her upper lip beneath her nose. I mean, it's just, and this is what God is doing. When he looks at you and I, when the pains come and the chipping is going on, he is doing something that is far beyond our imagination. He sees the possibilities, and he just refuses to walk away from his works of art. He says, I have called you by name. I've called you by name. You know, some people get upset with this next point. I never did, but when I worked at Lowe's, I had my name tag on, right? And if somebody called me by name, I liked it. There were people at work said, why are they using my name? They don't even know me. I'm like, well, it's on your vest, right? But I liked it, because it was personable, and I didn't mind. I went to Walgreens yesterday to pick up something, to use my points, you know, that they sent me in the mail, because I want those points, right? And there was Jennifer, young lady behind the counter, and she took the time to help me with my points and my purchase, and thank you, Jennifer. He says, I have called you by name. In other words, he knows our name. He knows exactly who we are. And he says, you are mine. You are mine. Each of you here today, God knows your name. Each of you, he looks at you and he loves you and he says, you are mine. And I want to do something in your life. I want to do a work in your life. If you just would allow me, will you see it happen? Because I'm doing it. Can you go with me on this? When you feel the blows of the chisel, when life strikes you and it hurts so much, can you stop and think, okay, God is doing something at this very moment. He's going to use this. He didn't cause it. He didn't produce it. He didn't throw it at you. Life throws these things at us. But he takes it and he says, I'm going to use this. And I'm going to work with this tool, and I'm going to do something good in your life with it. If you can take hold of that when those blows come, I think you'll find yourself in a much better place. That you'll understand that God is not absent at that moment, so because we often think that, where are you? I'm going through this. He's right there. He's present, and he's doing something with what's coming at you. And that's the God we serve. That's the God that we need to make others aware of around us. When they're angry at God because they don't know him yet. Why did God let this happen to me? Why is my life falling apart? Why did I lose that loved one? Why didn't that relationship work out? How did I fall into this financial hole? Why isn't the job just turning out better than I thought, you know? Or I had hoped. And we're surrounded with that. The wise. The fire of the wise, right? It's like that blacksmith's fire that's stoked real hot. And people scream out, why? I believe that we can offer some help in that area. So, this Thanksgiving, as we come together and we hear people's stories, I think we're going to hear God's work in their lives, the molding, the smoothing out, the forming of such beauty in their lives. And obviously there's pain involved in it to happen, but God uses it. And he uses it for us to form us, but he's also using it for us for the sake of others, okay? because God is forming that story in us, and we're going to hear some of those stories this Thanksgiving service. And that's why I encourage you, invite someone, especially if they have not yet tasted of God's goodness yet. Bring them, because they're going to hear of God's loving work being produced in the hearts of his people, creating wonderful works of art. The Almighty Artist. Let's take a moment to pray before we close. Lord, help us to trust you, O God. When things are happening, help us to remember you're not absent. We commit your word, O God, to our hearts, and we believe what you say, that you have called us, that you love us, and that you're at work in us. Lord, may we go with that in our hearts and minds today. And we ask this in the precious name of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Stand together and let God hear our praises to him. Dear Lord, we just pray for those who have not yet fell to the power of your provisions, and we pray for that in their time of need. In Jesus' name, amen.